Well, that said, now we're going to move into 2 Peter. And we're going to conclude chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 12. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. Chapter 1, verse 12 of 2 Peter. It says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh in your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Because I know that I will soon be put aside. Put it aside. As our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We do not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received honor and glory from God the Father. And when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Father God, we just come before You this morning. We give You praise, Lord. We thank You that You are the one who leads and guides, that it is in word Your truth and not the truth of men that we have before us this day. So, Father, we come before You and we ask Your Holy Spirit to be present here, to open our hearts and our minds to what it is You would have us to learn from You this day. Lord, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach Your word, that I might step back and You might come forward. That the people here wouldn't hear my voice, but hear Your voice. Lord, speak through me for Your glory. Lord, bless each one of Your people here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, prophecy and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Peter and prophecy. Here he is. He's coming and talking to us about prophecy. I know Lorraine over here loves prophecy. She just, some people get all, like, they love prophecy. And we are to love prophecy because it is the Word of God. But Peter has some truths that he wants us to know about prophecy that he's bringing forward to us today. And that he wrote to the church. And as we saw earlier, he wrote them to us. So first off, about Peter. Peter's an eyewitness. Prophecy. He saw prophecy fulfilled and he saw it spoken. Unique. No, he wasn't the only one to have done so. But Peter is at the part when he's writing this letter is the recognized leader of the church at this time. And he's going, people, I'm speaking to you not as just somebody who heard something from somebody and heard something. I'm just repeating something that I've heard before, but I'm telling you something that eyes have seen and I have lived and I have experienced this. Eyewitness testimony. This is the only testimony that that we can speak of when we go to court. Okay, I can only tell you that which I personally know and seen and experienced. I saw this happen. Or I heard this directly. I can't say, well, a friend told me that he saw this person run across the street. In a court of law, that's not legal testimony. That's not something that's going to be accepted as evidence. Well, Peter's laying out saying, you know, I'm giving you evidence to the Word of God and the truth and the reality of prophecy. I saw it fulfilled. I was there when the heavens opened up and God said, this is my Son. In Him I am well pleased. Okay, He is rather unique in that. There are only a couple people that saw that one. But He was there. See, I saw it. I experienced it. And I'm telling you this because I don't want you to forget it. He saw prophecy spoke. When Jesus said, this is what's going to happen, that was prophecy. When John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, that was prophecy. Peter was there at those times. He's saying, I saw this. Now, why is it so important that Peter stood there and wrote this letter and sent it out to us? So that we have eyewitness testimony that we can refer to, that we can say, there are people who saw this. It's not just a rumor. He's affixed his name to it, testified, wrote it down, and said, here's my testimony. Listen to it. Where else does that happen? Well, it happens in the court of law all the time. Oftentimes some people can't go to court themselves, or maybe they're far away, so they send you in to go see a lawyer or a judge, and you sit down, and they say, okay, we're going to swear you in, we're going to take your testimony, and they write it out, and they submit that. We have histories. People who were there, and they wrote it down. And when people are trying to examine and discover what exactly happened, when they write histories, they try to find original sources. Those people, those writings of people who were there. And Peter is telling us, you know, I'm not always going to be here, but I was there then, and you need to know this. See, Peter was an eyewitness, and he saw it fulfilled and it was spoken, and he's committed to keeping it fresh in our minds. That's his commitment. Committed to keeping it fresh in our minds, to remind us that we remember, to help us remember and to refresh and to know. What does that mean? You know, he's talking here in verse 11. He says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and they're established, that it is right to refresh your memory. So, and he goes on in verse 15 and says, you will always be able to remember these things. He's putting it out there so that we know it, that we remember it. You ever study something and put it down and forgot it? Oh, come on. I'm not the only one. I've studied some topics, and you sit in the lecture, you take the notes, you walk out and you say, what was it about? And you go, I don't know. But you ever go to a lecture or have something instructed where all of a sudden it clicked and now you understood it and you can remember it and recall it? I cannot spell to save my life. My mother is back there laughing her head off right now. It's genetic. Yes, I saw my sister posting on Facebook the other day. We can't spell. But I got a little special assistance when I was in seventh grade. I got put in a special ed class. I had fifth grade spelling. I was in seventh grade. And they said, well, that's not a big deal. It's only a two-year gap. She said, however, I'm reading first-year college level. Oh, well, yeah, that's a bigger gap. Maybe we should try to close that up. So because of that gap, I was able to get a little assistance. And out of all the help that I did, everything that they did, you know what I remember? One thing. I before E, except after C, or when sounding like A as in neighbor and way. That's it! But I remember it! And I know it, and I still say it when I'm trying to spell something out. When there's an I and an E involved. When there's a C, you go, okay, where does the I and the E go? And that's how I remember. That's how the only way I get those words right. But a teacher taught me that so that I would remember it. So that it would be something I could pull back and keep fresh in my mind. It wasn't just something that I knew and then was gone. Or I knew and, oh, if I remind you of it, oh, yeah, I know that. Anybody have that one? You know, you couldn't remember it, but as soon as somebody said, yeah, I know that. But you couldn't have spit it out 2 seconds before they told you for your life? Mm-hmm. Well, this is it. Peter is saying that he is committed to laying out the truth about prophecy to us so that we will remember. So that it'll be fresh in our minds, that we'll know it. Not know it like, yeah, I knew that, maybe. You know, I remember somebody told me about that, but yeah, it's kind of fuzzy. No, he wants it to be fresh and new in our minds. That's his commitment. He is committed to keeping it fresh in our minds, that we would know it. See, he knows his presence there is temporary. He's not always going to be there to speak up. So he's getting it down on paper. He is putting the lessons out there in such a way that they're memorable. He is making sure that it's also somewhere where we can find it. One of the things that I'm good at is I can remember where I read something. I'm looking for a quote. I can't remember the exact quote, but I remember for some odd reason where it was positioned on the page. I don't know why that's so, but that's just the way my brain works. It's weird. Enough said. But, so I just turn, till I find where it was. I look where I know it's supposed to be. That's why I don't like moving from one version of the Bible to another, or even a different Bible of the same version. No, it's here on my Bible. This is mine. Don't take it away. I can't find it if I can't. I can go and boom, there it is. With my Bible, I get somebody else's. I'm like, I'm there all week trying to find this thing. So, he knows he's not going to be there to always remind us and say, hey, it's over here. This is what it is you're trying to remember. So he's laying it out for us. He's trying to make it memorable to draw attention to it. He's drawing attention. Now, what's our task? What's our task in this? That's Peter's job, what he's doing. But what's our task? Well, our task is to pay close attention to God's word. He's telling you, he tells us here, pay close attention to this. We need to know it. We need to know God's prophecy. God's word, prophecy. It's really the same thing. We need to know. We need to remember it. We need to keep it fresh, refresh it. He's telling us to refresh it. Again, I was involved in sports. Anybody here ever been involved in sports? What happens at the beginning of every new season? You go back to the basics. You refresh. You may not go back to those by the end of the season, but you start over. You already know this stuff, but why do you go over it? To refresh it, to keep it fresh in your mind, to make sure that you're there. So every once in a while, it's important that we go back to, well, what are the Ten Commandments? You know, it's been a while since I studied those. Just keep it, bring it up, keep it fresh. We need to refresh it. So it's our job to pay close attention to those who were there and spoke it, those who lived it and what they had to say about it. We need to remember it. We need to keep it fresh. What is it that he's telling us that we need to remember about prophecy, in particular here in this instance? He's telling us about the basics of prophecy, the very basis of prophecy. The basis of prophecy. What is prophecy based upon? First and foremost, prophecy originates from God the Father. He tells us here that no prophecy ever came from the imaginations of men. This isn't something that we made up, people. He's very specific. It came from God. It originated with Him. We didn't say, you know, what would be a real cool story to tell somebody? What can we say? It wasn't a creative writing class. Okay? It wasn't, how can we explain away this thing that we really don't understand? That wasn't what it was about. Prophecy came about because God the Father had something that He wanted us to know. Then He chose to communicate it to us. And then prophecy was written by men, carried by the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that phrase, carried? It means the men didn't do the work. It was the Holy Spirit that did the work. That the people who wrote the prophecy really didn't write the prophecy, but the Holy Spirit wrote the prophecy. See, that's the basis of Scripture, is that it is one book with a single author with many writers. And their author is indeed the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. So what needs to be met, the message, comes from God the Father. And the actual conveying of the message is done through the work of the Holy Spirit working in men and women. But then it's fulfilled by God. Prophecy is always fulfilled. Okay? Prophecy is God speaking forth the truth and telling us this is what is, and it is always fulfilled by God the Son, by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter saw it time and again. The Word of God, prophecy, which had come down through the ages, God's Word spoken through men, through the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm not here to nullify the law, but to fulfill the law. That is the basis of prophecy. It is the will of the Father conveyed through the work of the Holy Spirit, fulfilled by the Son. And this is what Peter wants us to know. This is the truth that he's trying to convey to us. Don't get distracted by somebody else coming up with a new prophecy, a new thing, or whatever. If it didn't come from the Father, if it wasn't conveyed through the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's not going to be fulfilled or hasn't been fulfilled by the Son, it isn't prophecy. It's heresy. It isn't God's word. It's the work of the world. Peter, having learned the truth about real prophecy, was compelled to communicate that truth. He was compelled. He felt that compulsion. I need to tell you this, so that we would know and keep the truth fresh, that is in the forefront of our minds and of our lives. Okay, that passage that Donna read this morning. You know, we can't be trying to please the world. What my mother said is, it's not about just speaking the Word of God, but it's also about living the Word of God. The two have to coincide. And this is exactly it. How do we do that? By knowing the Word of God, by keeping it fresh in the forefront of our minds. If I take a class on God and learn about His love and His truth one time, said, well, I've learned that lesson, I don't ever need to study that ever again. That would be like Don and I having gotten married and we kiss at the altar and I say, well, I've done that, I guess I'm done. I'll tell you what, not a happy marriage would that make? I met her. We each go our separate ways now? No, that's not what. It's just the start of the relationship. And to grow, we need to keep that truth out there in front of us and that knowledge. Remember, to be really know is all about the relationship. We can't know people outside of relationship. And God's prophecy is all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about getting us into that right relationship with Him and with the Father. So that not just we're in that relationship, but as many as possible might come to be in that relationship. That those who hear might believe and be saved. Now, they hear the Word of God through my mouth, but my life is not in line with what I've said, they're not going to believe me. Or you. In order for those two to be in line, I need to keep those lessons fresh and in front. And that's what Peter's telling us here today. Keep it fresh. Keep the Word of God new each day. Be reading it, studying it, know and remember that this is not just a book. It's God's Word to us. It comes from God. It was conveyed through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. People, it is new and fresh every morning. Let's remember it. Prophecy is not to be ignored or changed, but it's supposed to be known. Know it. Be in relationship with it. That we might be in better relationship with one another and with God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we just thank You for Your Word this day. Lord, You had Peter tell us about this truth, that we need to keep it up in front of our minds. Lord, that You're not always going to have those who were witnesses to these things. They're to be able to nudge us and remind us. But it's incumbent upon us to go back to that witness and read it again, to know it anew, to refresh ourselves with it, that you might refresh us in our faith. And Lord, might we remember that true prophecy does not indeed come from us or any other man or woman or from the world, but it proceeds only from the Father. That it is indeed not communicated by the work of men and women, but by the Holy Spirit working through men and women who've availed themselves to you. And Father, we thank you that the real prophecy is fulfilled in that person of Jesus Christ. Lord, it is fulfilled in you. May we keep this fresh and new in our hearts and minds every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.